The following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the conclusion of a sermon series entitled Good Teacher, Life Lessons from the Lord of Life. Next Sunday begins a new short sermon series on the true spirit of Christmas. We've noted during this series that Jesus taught through his sayings, his parables, and his actions. This morning, we are looking at what Jesus taught about thankfulness through an encounter that was described in the scripture passage we just heard from the Gospel of Luke. Let's be for a moment in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus, while on his way to Jerusalem, was traveling along the border between Samaria, where Samaritans lived, and Galilee, where Jews lived. Jews and Samaritans were related, but they had ethnic and religious differences, which had resulted by Jesus' day in a good deal of enmity between the two. Generally speaking, Jews and Samaritans despised one another and avoided one another. In the border region, Jesus encountered a group of 10 lepers, who included both Jews and Samaritans. They serve as an illustration of how it is that sometimes a common catastrophe finally brings people together. The lepers had clearly heard about Jesus, and they began to call out to him, hoping that he might heal them. Jesus responded by telling them to go and show themselves to the priests. That instruction was loaded with extraordinary promise. In both Jewish and Samaritan law, it was the priests who certified whether a person had leprosy, and thus whether or not a person needed to be cut off from the rest of society. In the book of Leviticus, there are extensive instructions for how the priests were to make this determination. So the lepers at this point were not yet healed, but Jesus was telling them to go show themselves to the priests who would certify their healing. The implication being that somehow they were going to be healed on the way. The lepers set out, trusting in Jesus' word. At this juncture, they are a marvelous picture of faith. Often in life, we may call out to God for help with some need. We may not experience any immediate answer, but we are called to have faith, trusting that God will be at work and that God's answer will come, even if we do not yet see it. As it is said in the book of Hebrews, faith is the conviction of things not yet seen. On their way to the priests, the lepers were in fact healed. All 10 of them. One of them, upon seeing that he'd been healed, immediately turned back, ran back to Jesus, praising God and thanking the Lord for this healing. The others, presumably, were still on their way to the priests to get a clean bill of health so that they could return to society. But this one was so full of gratefulness that he returned to Jesus at once, knowing, of course, that Jesus was traveling, and if he did not go back to thank Jesus at this point, he probably was not going to catch up to him later. He threw himself on the ground to express his deep thankfulness. Jesus turned this into a prime teaching moment for all those who were gathered around. He said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? It was a rhetorical question, highlighting the fact that 10 had received a tremendous healing, but only one felt it was important to return to the Lord to give thanks. The story illustrates a common human pattern. When people are in serious trouble, they often are moved to implore God for help. But once help comes and circumstances improve, it is easy for people to forget God and simply go on their way. This, in fact, is a recurring pattern throughout the biblical story. In Old Testament days, the people of Israel would often get themselves into a mess, They would call upon the Lord. The Lord would help them. But as soon as things became better, they often strayed off once again. It is easy to grasp the gift and then forget about the giver. This is why the Psalms, a couple of which we heard this morning, so often call upon people to give thanks to the Lord. We are summoned to recognize with gratefulness that God is the source of all the good that we have. The biblical pattern shows that it's especially easy to forget and ignore God when things in life are going well, which is why it is so easy today for so many people to ignore God. We live in the most prosperous time in human history, a time so fortunate that even in the midst of a pandemic, the average person today is far healthier than the average person was centuries ago. And anyone who has indoor plumbing, central heat, and a refrigerator is living in greater luxury than kings did centuries ago. With all our abundance, it's easy for us to take it all for granted. It is to us then, especially perhaps, that the scriptures are speaking when they urge us to take stock of our blessings and to notice how much indeed God has given us. As the psalmist put it in Psalm 103, forget not all God's benefits. It is a curious human trait that no matter how much good people have, they are less inclined to appreciate what they have and more inclined to be grumpy about what they lack. But the Bible urges us to take the opposite approach, not to focus on what we lack, but to rejoice in all the blessings that we do have. Of course, there are times when we may find ourselves in the midst of particularly difficult circumstances, when we are terribly burdened by what we lack, or what trouble it is that we face. Yet even here, the Bible would urge us not to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by our troubles, but even in the midst of tough times, to recognize and appreciate the good that we do have from God. Many, many years ago, I spent a summer as a camp counselor at Camp Wanakee. One day, I set out with a group of fourth grade campers on a hike to Knoll Pond, which was in a somewhat remote area of the camp. It was to be the most memorable hike of the summer, which is why it still sticks in my mind today, for as we arrived at Knoll Pond, it began to rain. It not only rained, it poured, came down in buckets, and of course, the last thing you want on a hike is to be in the midst of a downpour. All this could have been very depressing. We could easily become very glum about the fact that it was pouring on our hike. But two boys in the group suddenly noticed there was something good about pouring rain. It created mud puddles. The path along Knoll Pond had been well trampled and it had quite a number of long, shallow depressions, which meant that the pouring rain created long mud puddles. The boys started running around in the mud puddles. They were slipping and sliding, and they discovered you could slide really great through this mud. So they took off running toward the next mud puddle and flung themselves on their bellies in it, sliding an impressive distance through the mud. Water flew everywhere, but of course they were soaked already, so what difference did it make? They thought this was the greatest thing. They ran pell-mell towards the next mud puddle and slid through the mud again. A couple of the other kids started sliding through the mud, and the rest of us, who had more sense than to fling ourselves headfirst into a mud puddle, were having a great time watching everybody else go crazy in the mud. Everyone was laughing, and before we knew it, we were back at the cabins. Here was a case where children discovered and appreciated something good in what might otherwise have been a gloomy situation. They could have said, gee, what lousy rain. Instead, they said, wow, what great mud puddles. They saw something for which they could be thankful. I'm not sure how thankful their mothers were when they saw their clothes, I was thankful I was not there when their mothers saw their clothes. But for the kids, this hike through the pouring rain became one of the best and most memorable events of their week. This is what an attitude of thankfulness does. It moves us to recognize the good things in our situation and brings us consequently to a more joyous outlook in life. Biblical thankfulness, though, does much more than simply give us an awareness of our blessings. It is a thankfulness that moves us to acknowledge God as the source of those blessings and to give to God the praise. Such thankfulness enables us in the process to have a greater openness to God, because as we give God thanks for our blessings, we become attuned to God's goodness, we come into touch with God's gracious presence, and we become more receptive to the blessings that God yet has in store for us. There's a story about a man who was at a large banquet. A server went by several times with a pot of coffee, but she never filled his cup. She was filling everybody else's cup, but not his. He became quite disgruntled, and finally he stopped the server with the coffee pot and asked her quite sharply as to why it was that she was not filling his cup. She pointed at his coffee cup, which was turned upside down on the saucer, and she said, "Oh, sir, if you want coffee, just turn up your cup. We are filling the cups of everyone who turns up their cup." An attitude of thankfulness turns up our cup to God. As we express thanks, we open our spirit to God and thus become receptive to God's perspective on the world and God's goodness. Indeed, to see the full effect of an attitude of thankfulness, we need only look once again at our story in the Gospel of Luke. It is notable that all 10 lepers were healed. Regardless of whether they returned to the Lord to give thanks, they were all cleansed of the leprosy. Here is an example of the fact that God continually bestows great benefits on everyone, even when people are not giving thanks. But something else happened to the man who returned and who thanked the Lord. As he knelt before Jesus and expressed his thanks, Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well." In the original New Testament Greek, the word translated "made well" is the verb sozo, which means to be brought out of danger and destruction into wholeness and safety, or to put it succinctly, it means to be saved. Jesus was saying, "Your faith has saved you. It has brought you out of destruction into wholeness." What happened, in short, as the man returned in thankfulness to Christ, is that he received not only a physical healing, he received spiritual wholeness, a saving relationship with Christ that finally was far more important than the healing he had received. Right here, we see the ultimate power of thankfulness. It points us beyond the benefits themselves to the source of those benefits and enables us then to connect with the ground of all goodness and promise in life, namely with God. The story in Luke near its end makes a particular point of the fact that the leper who returned was a Samaritan. Jesus pointed this out, as he said, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" At the time, the Jews, who were Jesus' primary audience, typically considered themselves to be far more righteous than foreigners like Samaritans. But Jesus, again here, was creating a teaching moment. When he subsequently says to the Samaritan, "Your faith has made you whole," he is saying that it does not matter what your background is or what group it is to which you belong. Through faith in Christ, we each can know the redemptive power of God. But what the story makes so clear is the kind of spiritual movement that will enable each one of us to fully experience God's blessing. The key moment in the story is when the man returns to Jesus to give thanks. Many people have a notion, especially on Thanksgiving Day, that they ought to have some gratefulness for what they enjoy in life. But biblical thankfulness is not simply a fuzzy sense of gratefulness. It is that movement of coming to Christ in worship, faith, and praise, whereby we join ourselves with the love of God that's being poured out upon us in Christ and which far surpasses any earthly blessing. Through the grace of Christ, we can know that spiritual wholeness, which enables us then to say every day with the psalmist, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to you, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." Let us pray. Eternal God, you have bestowed wondrous blessings upon us, and you have bestowed the ultimate blessing through your Son, Jesus Christ, of life forever in your eternal kingdom. O Lord, we give thanks, lifting our hearts to you, recognizing all that you do for us. Inspire us, Lord, that we might continually open ourselves to the power of your Spirit, that we might recognize the good in life each day, that even in times of trial, we might see how you are yet at work. Enable us, Lord, to trust in you, to have that faith to know that even as we face great challenges, you are here to lead us through, and you are guiding us towards promises that surpass all that we have yet seen. We give thanks, O God, for how you draw us together in the life of your church, how we can grow together in faith, and how we can not only enjoy your goodness, but together as your people, we can become instruments of your goodness in our world. We thank you for ways we can reach out to the world at large, through local missions, through our worldwide mission outreach, all those ways, O God, that we can be instruments of your blessing today. We do reach out to persons in times of particular need in our own church fellowship. We lift up especially those who are sick or recuperating from surgery, and pray especially this morning for Tom Emmerich. We lift up our fellow United Methodists and other congregations, praying especially this morning for the Mogadore United Methodist Church. Inspire us, O God, as we look to you in this Thanksgiving season, truly recognizing your goodness, opening ourselves to your grace, and joining together as we continue to lift you, our thankfulness, our devotion, and our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church, visit www.kentmethodist.org.